You're listening to a sermon from the Open Door Lafayette. If by God's grace you find these sermons encourage your walk with and your love of Jesus, would you please consider giving to the Open Door? You can learn more about us, next steps, as well as how to give at theopendoorla.org.
Praise God that he brought us this far. And so this week, as I was spending time with the Lord and allowing him to speak to me. Y'all know God still speaks, right? May not be in the way that of old, but he's still speaking today. And so over this week, I kept hearing several analogies and stories of running a race, of racing metaphors. My wife and I also was watching something where a blind young lady was running with a guide, with someone next to her, and they were just flying. They were in full sprint. And so I'm hearing all these analogies of racing and running. And so as I'm sitting with the Lord, he just kept bringing this back up. So much so as I'm sitting in the Men's Connect Sunday School class this morning, it was brought up about three or four times. An analogy or a metaphor of running the race. And so my wife asked me the question as we were watching this blind runner running with her guide. She looked at me and she said, "It must be very hard or difficult for someone to keep pace, to stay and strive with one another." And my response to us was, "It's a learned response." I said, if you learn to run with someone and keep the pace and stay with them, it can be a very beautiful endeavor of many running together. And so the Lord spoke to my heart about that this morning with the title of our message, Finishing the Race Together. Finishing the race together. You see, in biblical times, people would mainly run into battle or from threats of danger. Today we may run competitive races, we may get into maintaining our health and running. And I know there are several in our congregation, our church, that'll be doing a half marathon here in March. We have one that's running a marathon this month. And so there are several that may understand this idea of running that we're talking about. Or maybe you ran a couple of times and you were like, that ain't for me. You know, so many of these metaphors were coming up this week, and the Men's Connect, as I mentioned, was speaking about it. And as I was sitting there, standing there worshiping the Lord, I got a cramp in the back of my leg. I said, "Man, we've been talking, I've been thinking so much about this, I'm feeling it, you know." That hamstring was getting tight. And so I just want to share with you today this literary and figurative idea of running is something that's also mentioned in Scripture, that we have a race, this Christian life that can seem difficult and challenging at times, that God wants us to run it well. And so I just want to talk about that. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 6 through 10, coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 through 10, finishing the race together. And it reads, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, more so in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is." Would you pray with me? Father God, we pray a blessing over your word. Father, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear your engrafted word that's able to save, deliver, and set us free. Father, speak mightily to us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. And so just taking a moment to kind of unpack this and this letter to Galatia that's written by Paul. There are a couple things here that stand out. See, Paul is depicting their life in Christ by using this metaphor of running a foot race. The Galatia people of this day, the Galatians, had a good start with the doctrines of Christ. Paul had preached the gospel to them. Many of them had come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they were running the race of faith, the race of trusting God, of following Him. They were running it well with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was taught by Paul in opposition to Judaizing tenets of the law, those that were coming and adding to, sharing these tenets, sharing these legalistic things that can bind and encumber and be like heavy weights to the church of Galatia. But they suddenly changed their course. In a sense, they fell off. They stopped running. They didn't continue like they had once ran. Maybe they got discouraged. They had a hard time of figuring out what's what, to go this way or to go that way. And so Paul writes and he asks the question, who hindered you? And I think there's a key word there for us to hold on to this morning is the word who. See, who is that a person and not a thing? He didn't ask the question what. He said, who hindered you? And as we think about that, maybe it's one of the who's is those that came sharing false teaching that added to or took away from the word of God, that misunderstood and put this heaviness on the people. Or maybe the who is you. Maybe the who is because you started thinking it was you that was doing the running. Maybe the who was that you start looking too far ahead. Anybody ever did that when you was running? That you kind of like, you know, there's still 10 miles to go and you forgot you already did 12. And so the who is so important for us to understand. But see, there's also something here. He said, who hindered you? So that word hindered really means something. See, maybe we could take a passive approach to that word hindered, but as we look and we translate and we dissect that word, it means to break up a ground as an army before the advancement of a hostile force. In other words, they don't want you to get there. And so the ground is broken up. It's destroyed. See, it reminds me that, you know, our firm foundation is in Christ and Christ alone. He is the rock of our foundation. Who are we walking on? See, if we when we start adding and looking around, we can get hindered by the things of this world. We can get hindered by the cares of this world. And maybe there could even be someone that just don't want us to get there. And so these roadblocks, this destroying of the ground can happen in our lives. Who has done something to prevent you from continuing the course that is of Christ? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about salvation. You know, once we come to Christ, you know, we have the righteousness of Christ living on the inside of us. We move from death unto life. But Christ rescued us, brought us out, caused us to put down the old man so we could take up the new man. so that we could run the race effectively for him, as Ephesians 2 reminds us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So the question remains, what race is he specifically talking about here? The race of faith and trusting in Christ. There's a little bit more that goes to this, because we understand that Paul is also talking about a couple of things. He's talking about this persuasion that does not come from him, that does not come from Christ, but it could have in that day came from others. And so I think one of the illustrations that we can see in Scripture that Paul may have been talking about is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. Where it says this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. They kind of clean themselves up a little bit. Put on some lipstick, make themselves look good. And so Paul was saying is, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Look what the last part says, whose end will be according to their works. See, we just put our faith and trust in him. Don't worry about all the other stuff. God's got it in control. And so Paul is saying something emphatic in this Galatians 5 and verse 6. He begins by saying, for in Christ Jesus. See, that's so important. For in the body of believers, for in what Christ has done. See, it's not about our own righteousness. There's no benefit in our own righteousness, but there is righteousness in Christ. And so he's reminding us that this is how we should walk, that this is how we should run, by trusting in Christ. And the moment that you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you move from death to life. You move from outside of Christ to in Christ. And afforded all the privileges and benefits of the righteous king, of being a holy priesthood, a royal nation, inheriting the promises of God. And so he's reminding us to know who you are, for in Christ. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, not by works of man, but by his works. Not by what we do, but what he has done. And so he goes on to say, you ran well, who hindered you? It's so important that we think about that. Because these false apostles that we saw in 2 Corinthians, maybe there were some in Galatia that were bringing, that just fully didn't understand, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and they're bringing this heaviness of righteousness, this heaviness of rightness, of legalism. And so he's reminding us, don't be persuaded by the culture of rightness, of the law. Those who make themselves to look righteous. See, it's not about our actions. Our actions will not make us more righteous. It will not make us worthy to run. Christ has already did that. And so now we run in Christ. In his righteousness. For our righteousness is like filthy rags. And so, saints of God, be reminded you are righteous in Christ. And because of his righteousness, you are called unto good works. You're called to run. You're able to run. And so it's so important that we ourselves also be wise not to hinder others, but to be an effective team member that runs together and doesn't hinder each other. Don't cut each other off. Don't get in the way. So I'm going to use a lot of running analogies this morning, so just run with me, okay? So I want to give three ways how we can hinder others. Because as I think about this and that question that my wife asked me, I spent many years running in a team in the military. And as I was just kind of thinking about how many times I may have done that, the number went up to probably over 4,500 times that I've ran with others. And as I've ran with others, there's been some times, anybody know about the accordion effect? Because you got folks that want to run at different paces. And so what happens is you start doing this when you're running with folks if you're not careful. If you haven't learned how to run together. If you're not careful, there's been also times in that over 4,500 that we start out with 20 or 30 and we end up with 3. Because everybody likes to run at their own pace. And before you know it, if we're not caring for each other the right way, there can be a falling away. See, God doesn't want us to fall out. He wants us to fall in. In the times when we have troubles, in the times of hardship, that we're right there together. And we're falling in first and foremost into Christ. But we're falling in to one another. The strong bear the infirmities of the weak. And so I remember those times. I remember that it's so important that the leader leads well. It's so important that we know who the leader is. So that when we hear the cadence, we hear the rhythm, we're all able to be in step. And the leader is measuring the pace so that no one would fall out. Understanding that we all have different shapes and sizes, we all have different gifts, talents, and abilities, but we can be fitly joined together. So let me share that with you. How can we hinder others so we can just kind of get some insight that we won't be that one that causes someone else to fall out? That we won't be that who? The first one I'd like to share with you is entitled, By Discouraging Instead of Encouraging. By discouraging instead of encouraging. That we need to speak more cans than can'ts. That so often we can get into the can't-ology and miss the can't-ology. See, the Christian life is not always going to be easy. There's going to be some tough times. There's going to be some challenges. And it's so important that we speak the cans of the true life in Christ than the can'ts. See, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, it means I can endure no matter what it looks like. That we can learn, we can have a learned response that was whatever state we in, we can be content. See, there's some times doing that running when they were just running all out. And I didn't feel that contentment. I felt like, man, if they run one more mile, I'm gonna be done. I felt myself getting a little discouraged. And then maybe I had a friend to the next to me or the leader, he'd say, it's going to be all right. Just put one step foot in front of the other. We're going to do it together. See, the Bible also reminds us, believeth all things, that God can do it all. It tells us, endureth all things, that we can bear it through him. See, it reminds us that we can wait on the Lord and he will renew our strength. See, faith is a hopeful and an encouraging endeavor. It's not supposed to be a discouraging endeavor. See, it's trusting in the one who has it all. The one who is stronger than we will ever be. But in him, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. See, we may not know all the twists and the turns of life, but we can and will trust the one who does. See, I love what Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us when we're talking about the faithful men and women of old and how we can operate in our faith. It says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's able, that he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, that he's all powerful, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's right there with us. As we seek his face, he rewards us. Because he knows running's not easy. He knows it's going to be challenging. And see, as I was thinking about this and how it can, if we're not careful, we can be discouraging to one another. I believe the Lord led me to Job chapter 19. That we can see something happening here in verse 21 and 22. See, Job was going through probably the biggest trial that's known to mankind. He was being afflicted. He was being persecuted. He was trying to be destroyed by the devil. Killed his kids. Blew up his house. Everything, a wreck. Affected his body. And so his friends came to him. His friends came to him and they told Job about all the things that he probably did wrong to cause God to be angry with him because he must have sinned such a great, great sin. And so this particular passage, Job is taking all that from his friends. They're just coming at him. You ever been through something? And you're just having a hard time. And it seems like if that maybe a friend calls and that last straw hits you. And before you know it, you're just deflated. You're discouraged. You were hoping that they would just share something with you to give you a little, you know, pep you up a little bit. And so look what it says here. Job speaking to his friends, he says, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Oh, you my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you, like God, pursue me? Why are you not satisfied with my flesh? And we know that Job didn't understand it all, and so he had some of this thought that God's doing all this to me. Why would he do this to me? So what we understand that God sits high and he looks low. He doesn't miss anything. And so he's a gracious God, but he's also a God of judgment. And so there will be a time that because he loves us so much, see, what we don't realize is that this was a little bit of a chastening for Job because the Lord chastens whom he loves. And so Job is making this statement, saying, I'm getting a whole lot already. Can you just stand with me? See, what I've learned in this life is that, you know what? For most folks, you don't have to tell them what they're doing wrong. They already know. See, what we got to tell them is how to do right. lift them up. And so Job is speaking to his friends, why do you, like God, pursue me? And I know I've been there before, that I get ahead of God and think that that person needs to hear this, what I got to tell them. You ever been there? See, the reality of it is we're not called to judge in the form of pronouncing sentence over anyone. Yes, we discern. Yes, we take the moments and the opportunities when things are revealed to us to share truth and life. But the Bible reminds us to bear one another's burdens. And it also tells us to do good to them that despitefully use us. You know, there's time, that word spitefully means maliciously, vindictively, and viciously use us. But God gives us a way to respond. He says, vengeance is mine. Don't use the position that I've given you and placed you in for a cause to do what you want to do. So the question, why? Because God is the one who has the just right to. And he's the one that does the chastening. And even at times, the punishing. It's so important that we reserve, let God be God and do what he does and do what he's called us to do. The second way we can hinder others is by running in the wrong lane. We give our extra. We give our tips on how to do it. If we're not careful. See, you know what I realize? Sometimes I would, you know, I'm going to say it just plain. You know, there's some ugly runners out there. When you watch them running, it's just ugly. And they're pacing. They're getting there. But we want to fix everybody on everything. See, you're supposed to run on your toes. You're supposed to make sure you have 6 inches to the front, 9 to the back. You know, we try to give everybody all this extra. And we get ahead of God. We start running in the wrong lane. And before you know it, we're tripping people up. And so God is reminding us, don't be a snare to others. Don't be tripping people up. Don't misstep or overstep. Don't trespass on somebody else. Don't jump in the middle of something that God didn't tell you to be in the middle of. You know, sometimes we need to be passive listeners. In other words, you're hearing it and you're going the other way. Instead of we hearing it, we're like, well, let me tell you how to fix that. Well, because God has a timing and a place and a season for everything under the sun. Now, yes, when God puts on our heart and he encourages us to go and tell somebody, go tell somebody. But it's so important that we stay in our lane. Because one of the things that I would see in running is that you would have this long-legged guy in the back. And this long-legged guy didn't like being in the back with all of these front people. So he would come around them like this and be running because they started dragging just a little bit back. And before you know it, he's going around them again, going into different lanes. He's tripping the ones when he's going around, and he's hindering the ones that he's going in front of. so that he could stretch his legs out and run faster than leaving people. And so God is reminding us of that. It's so important that we make room for one another, that we be tender and gracious and kind. See, look what Galatians 5, verse 13 through 14 says. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Wait on one another. Encourage one another. Be at peace with one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, the Judaizers were adding to the plans of God, plans of the Lord, wanting others to go down the trail and the road in the way that God did not say to go down. It can even be that he may have told us not to do that as well. Not to heap a conviction of what God has told us to do on others. That we start being others' conscience before God. And it's so important that we come to understand a little bit better the importance of running together. Can your brother or sister run effectively with you in the middle of their faith journey with the Lord? But would they be better off in the middle of their faith journey running with the Lord leading and you providing loving encouragement and support? Better to stay in your lane. Let God do the leading. Let Christ be Lord of all. And we come encourage one another. You can do it. God made you for this purpose. He saved you and delivered you from that bondage so that you can have liberty to run. And then how can we hinder others? The last point is having a little disharmony in the race. Not too much, just a little. See, Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. See, one of the things that I was in all those times of running, there would be somebody that before we even got started, they were already grumbling and complaining. But when we got in that race and started running, you would hear, this ain't right. He running too fast. So although this particular passage is potentially talking about false apostles and not so much specifically about church folks, I think there's a little bit that we can glean from here. See, what we do not know about the Galatians is what happened. Did they completely stop running? Did they slow down? Did they take a break? But we know something caused disharmony. And it started to grow within them. So in ourselves, if we're not careful, we too can begin to grumble. And maybe it's something like you're at church and you see something that you think it should be a little better. maybe there's something where in a class or in a study, it doesn't sound exactly the way you think it should be. It doesn't mean we shouldn't, you know, we should always address or try to talk through false teaching. But I'm talking about that stuff that it's just not the way you would do it. You know, it's not wrong. It's more so preference. And we can grumble about it a little bit and cause it to grow. Now, my wife is a wonderful lady. And if I start grumbling too much, she just kind of stop it. It's so important to promote harmony and be in sync with each other, to know our pace, to know others' pace, and to know our place. That we don't get in a place where we start, as Galatians 5:15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. See, we must put aside our little leaven, whatever it may be. See the larger plan in the picture of God for the health of the body. And so that our eyes do not replace the we. See, we are stronger together. One can put 1,000 to flight, but 2, 10,000. See, we're stronger. And I'm so thankful. I truly believe that our hearts are for the Lord. And so I truly believe that, you know, God is doing some wonderful and amazing things here at the Open Door. And he's blessing us mightily. But to whom much is given, much is required. And it's so important that we don't be the ones that are initiating that disharmony. Resist the thought of going, and also resist the thought of going at it alone. See, sometimes we can look at something and maybe it's not getting fixed or it's not being the way we should, and it seems like it's going a little while, so you know what we do? I'm going to put my hand on it and fix it. I'm going to correct it. I'm going to get it there. I'm going to make it happen. And we can get ahead, and before you know it, we're running away from the pack. See, also this week, I had an opportunity to sit down with Brother Anthony, and he was sharing the story with me. Again, we were talking about running, and he shared the story of the first marathon runner. So the first marathon runner was from Greece, and he was called, he was a herald, he was professional, that was his job, was to run and bring messages. But the Greeks were going, they were in a war with the Persians, and they were outnumbered. It looked like they were going to be defeated. And so this first marathon runner, They were warring in Marathon, which was about 25 miles from Athens. But they had troops that were all the way down in Sparta, about 150 miles. So this first marathon runner took it upon himself. Maybe he was called to do it. He took out on this 150-mile treacherous wilderness, hard, trip to Sparta. And he ran all the way. The reports has that he got there in about 36 hours. Some stories say so he was able to get there and tell them that they needed troops to get the troops to come back to Marathon. Some reports say he not only did he run that 150 miles, he turned back and ran the other 150 from Sparta back to Marathon. And then they're not fully sure about the rest of this story, but that he so, after they had fought the battle, won the battle, had overcome Marathon, that he went down to Athens. Burst into the chambers and gallantly hailed his countrymen with victory, victory, rejoice, we conquer. Then he promptly collapsed from exhaustion and died. Great bravery, endurance, determination. But when we run along, there's also exhaustion. When we run alone, we don't have someone reminding us to pace yourself. When we run alone, it can get to a point where we can get off course. There's nobody there saying, hey, this should be the course. And when we run alone, there's no one to share the burden. That maybe he could have ran half, stayed there, the other guy ran the other half, came back, and then he picked up. And so the result of him doing it alone was a great exhaustion and then death. See, a part of God's making of Christ as the head is so that he would have a body, and that the body would be fitly joined together. So in summary, in order for the whole body to finish the race together, there is training and development needed, yes. But it's not our training plan that matters, but it's the Lord's plan. And he said, just like he said to the Israelites in the book of Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have towards you. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a hope and a future. So be this way, saints of God, in Isaiah 40, 31. Be those who wait on the Lord. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, we serve the Lord. He's the one we're waiting on. He's the one that's leading and guiding. He's the one that's joining us together. That we're falling into Christ and not falling out of the race. And that he's the one that knows exactly how to pace us in the right cadence and the timing, setting the course for us. When we try to run at what we perceive to be the pace, because we are letting others set the pace, we get weary. And so also he's reminding us to run in his strength, in his power, not others, not ours, but in him. He knows every condition he needs let the Lord care for the body so that there will be a full body conditioning. Often we see only a part of the body and the need, but he sees it all. Every bit of it. And so form in him. Let him lead the formation running. Run the race in sync means for the long-legged folks to slow down. Okay? To shorten their stride. To stay in the pack. For the short-legged folks to stretch it out just a little bit. You're not going to faint. It's going to be all right. Because our strength is in him. Let him be a guide, be our guide. See, we are a guide, but we're not the guide. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But we can be a guide. We can come beside someone. As God reveals things to us, he enlightens us, he shows us that we can see the course a little bit farther, that we can hold on to somebody. And maybe they can't see right now, but just keep running. Stay with them. Don't get ahead of them. Don't start grumbling because they may be a little slower than you are. See, true seeing means believing that we're believing in him. We're trusting him, not ourselves. The moment we start doing that, we start to not see. So let's run with Christ. And as you run with Christ, with faith, working in love, it transforms the world around us. So run with teamwork. Proper teamwork makes the dream work. Jesus said, I am my Father are one. Remember, we are one in Christ. And also, my wife showed me this video, a clip of a movie that's about rowing. It's called The Race. Before each row, they have a guide in front with this little horn. And before each row, he would give the command. And his command was, as one, as one, as one. So that's the challenge. That as we're running the race, we'd run it as one. Because we are one in Christ. Amen.